We are in the week before Parshas Toldos, and I had an experience this week, which is Mamash Me'inyona de Yoyma. It was really a very shattering experience. I don't know when anybody's going to be listening to this year. Maybe it'll be around still in a few years, and people won't know what was happening in November 2011. So just to put this experience into a correct time frame, all over America they're having these crazy demonstrations against Wall Street. They've discovered that Wall Street is a baleful influence on American life, and the financiers and ahin and ahir, and that's what's doing. And I don't know how it's all going to end. I guess nobody knows how it's all going to end, but it never in my wildest dreams thought that it would impact on me. I don't have so much to do on Wall Street. But you know what happened this week? A guy got up in one of these places where they're protesting, and he gave a ganze drosha. And I heard that drosha. And it's all the Jews, that the ganze Wall Street, all the evil that they're doing, crimes against humanity. Half the billionaires in the world are Jews. All the bankers are Jews. Most of the federal judges are Jews. Everything, the Jews, und das dreht sich in der Welt. And that is listened to and heard to and absorbed by millions and millions of people all over the world. It's unbelievable. This is, I mean, not making comparisons, but this is the anti-Semitism that was in the 30s in Germany. The Jews control the money, the Jews control this, the Jews control that. Rachmana litzlan, we haven't gotten anywhere. And this is a week or two after they caught Nebuch because they forgot to put the microphones off. So the French president is telling our good old Obama, yeah, oui, I hate this Netanyahu, he's a liar. And Obama says, well, you're talking, I have to deal with him every year, every day. But without shame, without anything, it's very, very, very terrible. It really is. It really is very, very terrible. But it helped me to understand Shem Ve'eva and later on Yitzchak. It's very strange. I have a problem with Rashi, because in Rashi and Chumash, because, you know, Rashi wants to tell us Pshat and Chumash much of the time. But sometimes there are phrases where Rashi doesn't say anything, and I feel I need some help. For example, Rivka goes to Shem Ve'eva. Yeah, Shnei goyim bevitneich, Shnei l'umim me'ayich yiporedu, u'le'om me'le'om ye'emotz, v'rav ya'avod tzo'ir. Now, what does it mean, v'rav ya'avod tzo'ir? I would like to know what it means. Rashi doesn't say it. He's silent. V'rav ya'avod tzo'ir. What does it mean? Is that our experience, that Esav is serving Yaakov? Rav Shamshon Hirsch, I saw, learns that that's in Achas Hayom, and that makes a lot of sense. That Shnei Lumim, Shnei Goyim Bevitneach, Shnei Lumim Mimayach Yiporedu, Ule'om Mele'om Ye'emotz. There's going to be a constant struggle between them throughout history, and at the end of history, V'rav Ya'avot Tzo'ir. Achas Hayomim Nochon Yehav Beis Hashem V'Rosh Hehorim V'Noharu Elov Kol HaGoyim V'Omru L'Chu V'Nalo Beis Hashem Yerav Yavod Tzim. Maybe that's what it means, but Rashi doesn't say it. Now, what I picked up this week, and which I hadn't ever noticed before, maybe it's obvious to everybody, to me it hadn't been obvious. What does it say over there? When finally Yitzchak had said Gam Baruch Yehiyeh, and he confirms the brocha to Yaakov, so then Esav says, no, you have to have a brocha for me also. So he says, okay. Yeah, hinei mishmane ha'oretz yeh ma'shorecho dat na'metal ha'shamayim me'ol v'alcha b'cho sichye v'es ochicho ta'avod v'hoyo ka'asha torid u'forak te'ulo me'al tzavorecho. It's really unbelievable. What does it mean over there? It's a chifat ta'avod. Now, I noticed for the first time, I can't say that it is like that. It doesn't say it anywhere where I saw it. But it struck me that that is an echo of what Shem Ve'eva told him. So Yitzchok is confirming that. What's going on? So weiter Rashi doesn't say what it means. And what is Yitzchok really doing over here? Well, he's not giving a bracha, because the bracha, although like Esav asked for a bracha, so maybe this is also called a bracha. That means it's a bracha that Esav is going to understand his function in history, maybe. And what is his function in history? That Mishmane Oretz Yir Moshevecha. How's it go over here? V'yanyos v'yom elav hinem Mishmane Oretz Yir Moshevecha Mitala Shomai Me'al. Okay, you're going to have a lot of wealth. V'alchabuchosichye. So I think of Shanshul Hirsch touches it like this, and I think that's really the Pshuta Shel Mikra. It says, Al Chabu Chosifya, you're going to be a terrific warrior, you're going to be a very, very good fighter, and you'll kill and you'll murder and you'll design more in the world. Al Chabu Chosifya, but you should know Ve'esochicha Ta'avod. You're not going to be the Balabas. The Balabas ultimately is going to be Ochicha. All the conquests which you made, mamish like that Taina over there in Avodah Zarah, yeah, that everything we did for Klal Yisrael. And that's Taka the Emes. And that is what it says over here. Ves Ochicha Ta'avod. It's all going to be for Klal Yisrael, and then we can learn with the Psalm for all years, maybe in Achas HaYomim, that then history will become clear, and you'll understand that everything was for Klal Yisrael. But v'hoyo kasha torid uforak te'ula me'al tzavorecha. V'hoyo kasha torid, zog Rashi, more in the world. V'hoyo kasha torid, loshen tzah. Torid is loshen tzah, k'mo orid b'sichi. Kloyme, k'shi yavru Yisroel es ha-toyra. When yidin ha-oyver the toyra, v'yir l'cho pisran peh le'itztaya al ha-brochus shenotal, uforakta ulay. This is a piece of comfort that Yitzchok is giving Esav. Listen, Esav, I gave the bracha to Yitzchok, to Yaakov. Too bad. Gam baruch yehye. I'm sorry. A real bracha I don't have for you, but I have a nechama for you. I have a nechama that when you are justified in being annoyed about this, if you're going to come to me in your tefillos or in your attitude or whatever it is, I don't know the system. But you're going to come and say, hey, it's not fair. Why do you give him the bracha? He's just as bad as we are. You know what? At that point, you will be ofarakta ulame al savarecha. You're quite right. You won't be mishubut to Yaakov. I think that this shibut to Yaakov is what's going on, what was going on that speech with the Wall Street people. That the emes is, why is anti-Semitism such a terrible scourge, and it never ever goes away? And Fakir Rahmana Litzlan, in our Tkufa today, we are reliving from hundreds of years back, like at the same old, like the Jews have they control everything, blah 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 blah. That is Vesachicha Tavod. You'll never get rid of the Jews. You'll always be looking over your shoulder. Why? Because your pleasure in Olam Hazeh will not be complete. Because you're always looking over the shoulder and saying, are we having it better than the Jews, or are we not having it better than the Jews? It's Ochicha Ta'avod. They're going to be sitting on your back, and they're not going to let you have any peace. Because even if you build the nicest palace, or you have the nicest whatever it is that they want, right? You'll always be looking over your shoulder. Oi, but the Jew is controlling it. He's going to be like a ghost who doesn't let you go. There's Ochicha Ta'avod. But one thing I can comfort you. That is only as long as the Yidden are doing my Rotzen. when they're doing my rotzon, so then the brocha which I gave them, v'yitin l'cho elokim, italash wrong, remember I said elokim, if they deserve it, so it's talking about whether they deserve it, so v'yitin l'cho elokim es ha-shamayim v'es-ha-oretz, so they talk to have it all, the emes is they have it all, but their satisfaction, their joy, the simchas ha-chaim doesn't nemzich when it's the way it should be with the olam hazeh de kezachen. That's not what's going to give them the chiyus, and they're going to magish that. They're magish that we don't want to have any shaychus to the culture, to the values, to the krumkeit. That is not what we want. It's not what we want. It's not what we want. It's not what we want. And so they hate us. What do you mean you're rejecting us? So Yitzchak says, you know what, I know I'm telling you you're going to have a tough life because you're never going to be completely happy. Oh, but one thing I'll tell you, that it's going to last only as long as they do my rotzon. And if they don't do my rotzon, and you will have a legitimate taina, why did they get the brocha and not I? And the answer is, you're quite right. And at that moment, ufarakta ulo me'al savarecha. This, I said, like this experience I had this week, is a sort of it's mamish the uptight of history. Like it's the key to understanding, like why anti-Semitism is there. It's there. It's there. It's there. And it if it goes away, it's only like mina sofa v'lachutz. It's shreklich. And the answer is because they don't want to be the Bahoyo Zachicha Ta'avot. That is what it is. That's the Hegish that the Jews control. It's unbelievable. Bahoyo Kasha Tavid Uforakta Uloy Me'al Savarecham. It's really unbelievable. And the emes is what's the pshat? The pshat is like how does the ufarakta ulo me'al savarecha work? It works very simply. Why? Because olam hazeh. Yeah. Let's discuss a moment. Oh yeah, I hope I don't forget my train of thought. Let's try. Yeah. Olam hazeh, olam haba. Right. So Rashi brings that the Yaakov and Esav were loichem in the nachalas shnei olamos. So it's Olam Hazeh and Olam Haboh. So they were fighting, both wanted both. And the pshara was that Esav gets Olam Hazeh and Yaakov gets Olam Haboh. Now, let's ask ourselves, what is the difference between Olam Hazeh and Olam Haboh? What is the difference between the Olam HaTachtein and the Olam HaElyon? What is the difference? So then, before I was complaining on Rashi, that Rashi is not explaining some very, very, very relevant psukim, and I don't know why. You know, I tried in a book recently, you know, the Rashi's Thoughtful Students. Yeah, I was talking about, like, can we pinpoint a little bit what Rashi was trying to do with his perush? So that's very hard, because a lot of times Rashi doesn't say things where we expect very much that he would say something. So we just now pointed out by Esochicha Ta'avot, Rashi doesn't say not earlier by Shem Ve'eva, not later by Yitzchak. I don't know why he doesn't say it. But here, Dafka, in the beginning of Bereshis, Rashi is extremely helpful, and it's difficult to understand if the following wouldn't be true, why Rashi Taka says it. What does the Rabban Shem say on the second day? And Vayaz Elokim es Horokia, Vayavdel ben Hamayim Hashem mitachas l'Horokia, uvein Hamayim Hashem me'al l'Horokia, Vayishchen. That's what they did on the second day. Rashi says he was mechazek the Horokia, he strengthened it, and on the first day it was all liquid still, and I guess what it means is that there was a way of getting from this physical world to the Olomos or Elyonim, but on the second day the Ribono Shel Olam said, Gamanu. Now comes a strong hefsuk. You can't get from here to there. And we know the Chazal that said there's a remez that one day what the water is going to say, Anon v'inon l'mehever kama malka. The Rebbe Shem said, wait till Sukkos, Simchas Beis HaShoeva, this is Zayin, all right. whatever that is, that's, we're not going to go into that now, because of, otherwise we'll never get through. So, as I does. So what does the pasuk say? Vayavdil Elokim ben hamayim asher mitachas lerokiyah ben hamayim asher me'al lerokiyah. Zogt Rashi, wow, me'al lerokiyah, al lerokiyah lo nema, elo me'al lerokiyah. Now, what Rashi does not say in the story of the Maisa Bereshis, in the 6 days of creation, is unbelievable. There's so many midrashim. There's so much that Rashi could have said, and he doesn't say it. So, of all the midrashim which are available, Rashi has to tell us, wow, the Maim HaElyonim don't rest on the Rokia, but they're in the air. That's all we know about the Maim HaElyonim. Nothing about the Olam HaSolyanim, nothing. We don't hear about Malachim, we don't hear about this, we don't hear about that. One fact Rashi evidently feels that we have to know, and what is that fact? That fact is that there's something called Mayim HaSolyanim, and that they're not resting on the Rokia, but they're floating around in space. So why is that so important? And why is it more important than anything else? It's really a moiridika, moiridika, moiridika Rashi. Now, I don't know whether my physics is correct. At least I know that it's practically non-existent. So I don't know now whether the following statement is true. But I think that there are certainly aspects of it that it's true. What is Rashi really saying? Rashi is really saying that the pshat of the Olam HaElyonim, all right, there are 500 different midrashim, but what touches up what is the Olam HaElyon? What is the Olam HaElyon? The Olam HaElyon is a place where gravity has no power. And the Zach which I said, I don't know whether I'm saying the right thing. I'll say it now. It could be right, could be not right. If there are any physicists among you, you'll tell me whether I'm right or wrong. But it seems to me that the basic glue which holds our universe together is gravity. I understand that all the motions of the stars and of the galaxies, unfortunately I know very, very little about how all this works, but I understand that that is the function of gravity. I think the moon and the earth, that's why the tides are the way they are. Gravity, 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 gravity. There's a pull, the pshat, the difference between Olam HaElyonim and Olam HaTachtonim is the pull of physicality. Gravity. Gravity, 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 gravity pulls. And the Rabbeinu Shem tells us the Maim Asher Mei Al Lorokia. Olam HaSolyonim is where Olam HaZeh does not exercise any pull. That is what Olam HaSolyonim are. I think that's right. And that is why Rashi brings this Chazal. It's not just one Chazal. I mean, I have no idea whether that's the reason, but at least that's what I told myself. That's why Rashi perhaps brings this Chazal. Why? Because that is the uptouch of what the Olam HaSolyanim are. It's not a place where there are Malachim. Malachim can come down into our world also. It's a place where there is no pull from the physical world. That is what it is. That's a Magid Gazaf. And I think that is pshat. Now, as I said that before, I hope that I remember what I was saying. I think I do remember what I was saying. That is the Hoyokasha Torid Uforakte Ulam Me'al Tzavarecha. Why? Because when the Yidden are not doing the Rotzen Hashem, so they don't get Olam HaZeh. Because why? Because the Rabbeinu Shem said, V'yitem Choho Elokim Mital HaShemayim V'mishmanei Horetz. The Rabbeinu Shem said, you're only going to get it if you deserve it. But if you don't deserve it, you're not going to get it. So if you don't deserve it, you're not going to get it. So Mimele, when they're not Oisim Ritzayne Shel Mokim, Olam HaZeh is available. It doesn't belong to the Jews anymore. They have no right to it. They have no chelik to it. So then, uforakte ulam me'al tzavarecha. You're not going to have to feel that these brochas gave the Yidden a power over you. They're getting the tal hashamayim mishmanei haoretz, not you. Yeah, but they're getting it, Elohim, they're getting it with the Midas Adin. They'll only get it when they deserve it. Mimele, v'ho yokasha torid. If you're grumbling that you didn't get it, has justification, because the Yidden are not doing the Ritzayin Hashemokim. So then, why? Because then they don't get V'yitan L'choy Elohim et HaRashamayim Mishmanei Oretz. If they're not getting V'yitan L'choy Elohim et HaRashamayim Mishmanei Oretz, so the whole earth is available. Vakasha, take it over. It's all yours. It's really, 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 really unbelievable. And the emes is that there's another Nakuda which I want to make over here. It's really a yesod. It's very much on my mind. I don't know, I think that in the last couple of shiurim I may have mentioned that I'm being Isaac just now in the sugi of Milchoma. I'm trying to understand the place that Milchoma has in the Torah. Okay, I'm trying to understand it. So along the way I discovered, and it really gelled in my mind only this morning as I was thinking about this shiur. So I had the bits and pieces before, but they didn't come together quite the way that they are coming together in my mind at the moment. The word milchoma is a very, very strange word. The shoresh is lamed ches mem. Locham, whatever it would be the right way of pronouncing the infinitive. So that's the Shoresh, but by coincidence or not by coincidence, that happens to be also Lechem, food. So what's the connection? What's the connection between Lechem, food, and Milchoma? That's a reasonable question. And the Radak and the Sefer HaShroshim treats it. Rav Shamshon HaHirsch also treats it. But I think that in this particular case, I'll leave the Rav Shamshon HaHirsch by the side, because I think it's less in the actual pasuk. He'll be mindful of me if I concentrate on the Radak in this sphere. The Radak says, because the two sides in a war devour each other. The two sides of a war, they devour each other. That's why it's called lechem. Milchoma. Milchoma is a devouring of two armies of each other. Other than the Radak. Now, there happens to be another meaning for Lamed Ches Mem, which I suspect that probably most of you don't know, because it comes very, very rarely, and as far as I know, it doesn't come in the Bavli altogether, but it does come in the Yerushalmi, I think, and it does come in the Midrashim. Very, very interesting. And that is that the Shoresh Lamed Ches Mem, and the truth is that it's true even in modern Hebrew today, it means they were Mesagel, the word from the Midrashim, and put it into modern Hebrew, is when you solder two things together, it's called Hilchim. Hilchim. The Loshon of the, in Vayikra Rava at the beginning, it's talking about people becoming Balei Tshuva. And so the Medrash says that when a person becomes a Baal Tshuva, earlier he was far away from the Ribbono Nishlolem, and now he comes close to the Ribbono Nishlolem. So the Loshon of the Medrash is Ko'odam Shuhu Malchim Shnei Nesorim. It's like an Odam who is Malchim Shnei Nesorim Umadbikom Zeloze. So Malchim, this is the Hifil form of Locham Lamed Ches Mem, means of all things to bond together. So the Baal Tshuva, when he comes back to the Ribbono Shlolem, he's coming as close as an Odom Shuhu Malchem Shnei Nesorim. He takes two boards and solders them together, sticks them together, glues them together. Umatbikom Zeloze. So that is another meaning of Locham, which sounds pretty opposite to having a war and consuming each other, and this is to bonding them together. Okay, so we do have Lashonis like that in Lashon HaKodesh. We have Sokal, and what's the other one which Rashi brings? Oh, I can't think of it now. So it means the thing and its opposite. Let's not go into that, but that's a Tofor in Lashon HaKodesh, apparently. So, Deshen means Ledashen. is to make ashes, and let Hashem means to take the ashes away from the Mizbeah. Dish and Mizbeah. Okay, so you have words in the opposite. So Lechem is both bonding and warring, like the Radak says, that they consume each other. I think, though, that there's a different possibility, and that is really a Meirat Gezach. That's a Meirat Gezach, and of all things, it's weiter Menyona Diyoyme, and it has to do with Vayis Reutzetzu Habonim Bekirba. So what does it mean by Yisroitzitzu Habonim Bekirba? And if you learn Yerush as well, you'll know that by Yisroitzitzu means that they fought together, but it also means in the end that they ran. And that's what Rashi says, that when they came to Beis Avodah Zorah, Esav ran them. When they came to Beis Hamikdash, Yaakov ran them. So what Yisroitzitzu turns into a Rotzu, right? The shoresh of quarreling is Rotzatz. The shoresh of running is Rutz, two different Shroshim. But the word by Yisroitzitzu over here in our Pasha can be subsumed under either, and in fact is that they're fighting each other, so they hate each other because he's interested in Olam Hazeh and he's interested in Olam Habah, whatever it is, or in both. Yeah, and what happens when they come to Beis Avodah Zorah? He runs, and when they come to Beis Medrash, he runs. Right? So it's a Bonim B'Kibbon. In my book about Rashi, for Rashi's thoughtful students, I discuss over there what the pshat is in Vayisroitzitzu, and I bring a Rashi, and it's—I don't want to go over the whole thing again. I have a kind of feeling that I said this over once in one of the shiurim. Maybe some of you remember it. Anyway, there's a Rashi in Chulin about Kuf Chof Hei on the base. So, what is Tumor Ritzutza? All those of us who've learned the sugyas, so you know that such a thing as Tumor Ritzutza. So what does Rashi say? Rashi says like this: what is called Ritzutza? Kol dover she'en loy mokom revach koroy rotzutz. If something doesn't have space, then it's called that this thing is rotzutz. Cholol hu v'nikra ma shebesoicha rotzutz. I'm sorry, I skipped something. Let me start again with Rashi. Kol dover she'en loy mokom revach koroy rotzutz. Upochas mitefach lav cholol hu v'nikro mashu besoicho rotzutz. What's an oil? What's tumor rotzutzah? Is if the oil over the tumor is not a tefach oil, so it doesn't have a din of oil, so it doesn't spread the tumor. So if it doesn't spread the tumor, so then that's called that the tumor has no space, and in Mele it crushes it by cars for oil through the oil and goes all the way up to the rokia. Nochamot. If there's, by tumas meis, there's a loch of tumas oil. If there's an oil over it, it spreads the tumor underneath the oil. That means that if there's a chelek of a meis lying in a room, and the room is 100 yards long, so everything under the roof becomes tome, because, which is tomeable. Because why? Because tumor, the oil gives the tumor a lot of space. But if the oil doesn't qualify as an oil, it's too low, it's not a tefachai. So if it's not a tefachai, so it doesn't spread. So it turns out that the thing does not have its space. Everything needs space. Everything needs space. And if you deny it its space, it crashes through the oil and goes out l'rakia. Let's read the Rashi again. I'm sorry, I didn't read it right the first time. Kol dover she'en loy mokam revach koroy rotzutz. It's constricted. Upochos mitefach lav cholol. It's not called an oil. Lav cholol hu. V'nikro mashu besoicho rotzutz. That's tumor rotzutza. And that's the pshat in our Rashi. Vayisroitzitzu habonim bekirbo. Vayisroitzitzu habonim bekirbo means that they fought each other, and each one wanted to have the whole room to himself, and Mimele didn't leave any room for the other one. So when you don't have room, you crash through barriers. And that is why when Esav was attracted by the outside, because there was a Beis Avodah Zorah, he crashed through and tried to get out. And when Yaakov saw Beis HaMedrash, he crashed through and wanted to get out. That is the pshat by Yisroitzitzu Habonim Bekirba. So let's understand this funny Shoresh Locham. It means war, it means devouring food, and it means soldering, joining, bonding. What is the connection over there? So I think that this is really what is happening over here with this lotion of Ritzutza and Milchoma, really Milchoma. The pshat is like this. I think, and that is also like this big yesoid which we learn in this parsha. What brings about war? When do people fight? And I think that when people fight is when they feel themselves constricted. When you enter my space, and constrict my space, that is when I'm willing to fight. That is why I'm willing to fight. And that is the cause of war. So I think, taking those three things together, war, constricting, and bonding. That's very strange. The Torah says, no, it's not strange at all. And that is what that medrash means. Ko'odam shu malchem shnei nesorim umadbikam ze leze. You take a person, and he has two objects, and he wants to make one object out of those two. And so he solders them together, or he glues them together. However you touch, malchim, the hifil of lamed ches mem. When that happens, when you put them together, and glue them together, now they're one. Now it depends, is it a good shidduch or is it not a good shidduch? If it's a good shidduch, then they sustain one another, they strengthen each other, they give each other power. This bigger object now, which has more strength, more permanence, more whatever it is that is required over here. So the two halves, which originally were separate and now are brought together, they strengthen each other, they support each other, they give each other power, they give each other ability. That's lechem. That's sustaining. In other words, I'm trying to explain it not like the Radak, that it's devouring, but verkehrt. Lechem sustains. Ki lo yala lechem levado yichyeh ha'odam. But the lechem plays an important role in yichyeh ha'odam. It's not levado. Bread sustains, food sustains. So that is what lechem is. So it's a wonderful thing, but it also encroaches. Yeah, when you get too close, when you take these two things, let's say that they're not a good shidduch together, and that the one inhibits the other one. So if the one inhibits the other one, so then you have milchama, then you have locham. So the word is like this, that I think that the basic meaning of Lamed Ches Mem, that I'm not sure about, but I think that the basic meaning of Lamed Ches Mem is bonding, joining together. And that has two possible toitzoas. It has the toitzoa of strengthening each other, and it has the toitzoa of creating milchama between each other. And that is the shoresh of milchama, that somebody encroaches into my space, inhibits my movement. Now I just want to finish this, you know, because it's going to get too long. It is getting too long, but I want to make this last point because it's a very, very important point. Especially among the Achronim, the Loshen is like this. When they discuss Milchoma, Milchoma seems to be a sort of a little world on its own, because there's a big question. Let's say there's Milchemes Rishus. It's not an obligation, it's not a mitzvah to go and fear a Milchemes Rishus. The Gemara says it's not even Isaac the mitzvah, potter in a mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah. You can do it, but yeah. Now, what's a Milchoma? you take a gun and you shoot the other guy. You're not allowed to kill. What's a milchama? The other guy can take a gun and shoot you. You're not allowed to risk your life. What's going on? So by milchama, it seems to be standing outside the ambit of normal mitzvahs. By normal mitzvahs, there's a din of pikuach nefesh, that you're not mechuyev to sacrifice your life except for the avodah zogil arayz of shlichus damim, and that's not what milchemes rishus is. So why are you mechuyev to sacrifice your life? The Radvash brings a raya that the commander in an army does not have to hesitate about putting soldiers into places of danger. Where does he bring a raya from? From Yaakov. He put the Bnei Shfochas first when Esav came. They were in the most exposed position. So pikur nefesh for you is not a p'tur. And you can say, yeah, but I don't want to kill. That's like yitzchak. I'm a chomer, you're allowed to. So it's like a dovo bifnei atzma. It's oimed by itself. So I was bothered. I told you before, I'm trying to learn about milchama a little bit, that it's very strange that these yesoidas, that you have to risk yourself being killed and you are allowed to kill others a lot. Maybe I mentioned it also in the past shiurim, that it doesn't say it anywhere in the Torah. It's all anecdotal. Like he brings a raya from the Bnei Shfochas. It doesn't say anywhere in the Torah, Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe lemer, milchama is different. Yeah? And there's no p'tur of pikuach nefesh, and there's no issa to kill. Like, it's such a yesoidistic thing. It's unique. There's no other mitzvah which is like it. So, shouldn't the Torah say that? The Torah gives us a lot of mitzvahs about milchama. How to feel milchama, when you say it's a milchama ala gecha, but that you're allowed to be yetzer milchama, there is no special posuk for it. It doesn't say anywhere expressly, the lachroinim amedayeg it from this place and from that place, but it doesn't say beferush that milchama is a sugi bifnei atzma, which is not governed by the normal ha'arotza of human life, not in the sense that you are not allowed to patter yourself because you don't want to be killed, and not in the sense that you're allowed to patter yourself because you don't want to kill other people. Neither of those are valid. So, where does milchama come from? Where does milchama come from? And we could take this further, but I just want to mamish within the sugya that we're learning now. It seems to me that is what's happening in our Pasha and in this whole story of Yaakov and Esav. Conception. They're in their mother's womb. Already they're fighting each other. That is milchama. Constriction makes milchama. It's moyer dikazach. And as every line of the Torah tells us that there's a din milchama, and that if you are constricted, the natural thing is to fight. That's unbelievable. And what happens a couple of years later? Vayeovek ish imoy ad alois hashofer. Fight. We're fighting. Esav and Yaakov are fighting together. And what is Vayeovek, sagt der Ramban? Rashi brings Male Ovek. But what does Ramban say? Ramban says it's Loshen Vayechovek, they embraced each other. Because people who wrestle together, they embrace each other. They intrude into each other's space. And now they're trying to break loose, they're trying to overpower, they're trying to regain their space. And where do I need Rayas for? Yeah? Loi Yaakov Yeomer Otshem Chokim Yisrael Kisorisoem Elokim Vayman Hashem. We are constantly fighting. Life is a fight. Because constantly there are things that are encroaching on us. If we are a Yaakov Avinu, it could be a Malach. Im Elokim Vayman Hashem Vatuchal. The uptight of Klal Yisrael is a fighting people. Fighting whom? Fighting Esav, fighting physicality, fighting for our identity. This is more in the world. And Mamish, we have that in Vayisroel Tetzua Bonim Bekirba. That is the Pasha which explains why we're called Yisroel and why that happened by Vaye Ovek Ishimar. Because your space was being constricted. Because your space was being constricted, you entered justifiably into a Milchama. And that is the Milchama which we have to fight. And the Rabbi Nisham should help that we should be able to escape the V'hoyoka Asher Torid. We mustn't make the Goyim sad. We mustn't make the Goyim say, hey, that wasn't fair that you didn't give us the Brocha. They're no better than we are. If God forbid such a time would ever come, then it's a Forakta Ula Me'al Tzavarecha. One of Islam, Rabbi Nisham should help. We need that oil on them. If we don't have that oil on them, what's going to happen to us, physically and spiritually? So we've sort of covered a lot of ground in this year, but I think that this Pasha, I'll tell you a secret. It's Tuesday today, so usually by Tuesday I'd like to have the Shia up already on the thing. But I didn't know what's Toilders. Oh, yeah, everybody knows the story with the brokers. How am I going to think of something to say which might be interesting? So when I started really thinking about it, I saw that this Pasha is so unbelievable. It's mamish, 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 our daily lives spread out before us with its problems and with its solutions. The moira moira dika zachen that we can learn from this Pasha.